Okay, we're holding on Erevin Daf Nun with the very top of Nun Amud Aleph. We just said that there are two different shitas when it comes to someone who says that they're establishing their residence underneath a tree, but that doesn't define the exact area. According to Rav, you haven't said anything at all. And according to Shmuel, no, you do get the... you just can't use the Eruv as a means to get back to your home. However, we do see the Eruv, we do see the residence that you affected underneath the tree as valid. We just don't know exactly where to start it underneath the tree. Ama Rabba, my time at the Rav. So Rabba asks, what's Rav's Svaru? Says he said nothing. Mishum de lo misayim atri v'ikid amri. Ama Rabba, my time at the Rav. She'inu bazeh achar zeh afilu b'vat achad. So the first shita, two opinions of what Rav's Svar is. One is because it didn't specify a place, and for an Erev, you need to specify a place. But according to the second Svara, it's because whenever you're trying to designate multiple things at once and only one of them works, none of them worked, right? Meaning, you're only allowed to make one Eruv, correct? So if you're designated an area of, you're only allowed to, let's say, make one Shabbat residence, right? It's going to be four Amot. Four Amot is your Shabbat residence. Now, then you can carry up to 2,000 Amot from the place that you were Kone your Shvita, but you're only allowed to be Kone your Shvita in one place. But if you say underneath a tree that has multiple sections of four Amot, then what you're really doing is you're establishing multiple places of residency. And whenever you're trying to do multiple things at once, where halachically you can only do one of those things, none of them work, right? You have to do one thing that works. You cannot do two things. If you try to do two things, we say that neither of them work. My benayhu, what's the practical difference as to whether I say he didn't define a place or he tried to acquire multiple things at once that contradicted each other? Ik benayhu de amar likni be arba amot migo shimona mandamar mishum de lo mesayim atre halo mesayim atre mandamar mishum kol she'eno bezeh achar zeh afil bad achar eno bad achar eno haika arba amot dami. Right. So the following case would be the difference between them. If you said that I established my Shabbat residence in four out of these eight Amot, well, you still didn't specify which four you're talking about. So if you say that the problem is you didn't specify, you still didn't specify, it doesn't work. But if your problem is you're trying to acquire multiple places at once, so none of them work, you're not trying to acquire multiple places at once. You're trying to acquire one place. You're just trying to acquire four Amot, four out of the eight. You just didn't specify which one, so it still works. Okay. Gufa, so let's observe something, which is examined something we said earlier. Amar Rava called the Varsha Eno Ba, She'eno Bezeh Achar Zeh, Afilu Bad Achar Eno, right? So basically anything that we cannot, that we, basically the literal translation is that anything that is not, that doesn't function in Bezeh Achar Zeh, meaning anything that you cannot do consecutively, one after the other, this and then that and then that. I mean, you can't establish your Shabbat residence here and then there right afterward and then there right afterward, right? So we don't, because you can't do multiple of them, that's basically in short saying, you can't establish your Shabbat residence in multiple places, even if you do them in multiple times. So if you're doing it all at once, we say that none of them work at all. That's kind of the literal translation. Okay, Eitve Abaye L'Rabba, okay, that's apparently Rav's Shita, but Abaye is going to challenge Rav's Shita. If you take more miser than you needed to, miser is 10%, right? But you take 20%, your fruit are still fixed. However, your miser cannot be eaten, right? Now, why are your fruit fixed but your miser can't be eaten? Well, the proper miser was taken, right? So your fruit definitely are not lacking miser. They're not tevel anymore, right? They can be eaten. However, your miser only works for 10%. It only works for 10%. You cannot make more than 10% of miser. So right now, let's say you have a pile of 20% of your produce, and only 10% of that is miser, but you don't know which 10% of that is miser, so no one can eat it, because it's really tevel, right? But still, your fruit definitely are not mixed in with any miser, right? But why would that work? Meaning, if you think about it, what we just said is that you can't take multiple miserot, and you tried to take multiple miserot. But if you try to take multiple maestro and you can't take multiple maestro, then none of the maestro should work, and your fruit should still be a problem to eat. Amai, kol she'eno b'bezeh achar lema, kol she'eno b'zeh achar zeh, afilu b'vad achat eno. Right? We should apply our principle of you can't take multiple maestro one after the other, right? Only one maestro works, in which case you try to take multiple at one time. I think this 20% is my maestro, then it shouldn't work at all, and your fruit should still be tevel, right? So that's clearly a problem for that explanation of Rav Shita. Shani maestro, de'ite lechatzai, de'amar tigdush palga palga, de'chite kadsha. Right? No, so maestro is different because maestro you can establish in half foods, right? If you wanted to say that half of all of, you know, let's say you take 20% of your property and say that half of every single wheat kernel is micer, right? That works. So you don't have to establish full wheat kernels or full fruits. Rather, you can work in halves. So whenever you say 20%, the assumption is that you really intend to take 20%, and you're actually just taking 50% of each of the 20% of the fruit that you designated. You have a pile of 20% of your food, and you designated it as micer. So the intention was you actually meant to make half of each, not half of your oranges, but half of each and every single one of those oranges in the 20% of the oranges that you separated are now micer. And half of that of each and every single one of those oranges is not supposed to be micer. Now, you can't tell which half is which, right? But the micer still works because you're not, we don't assume you're intending to take 20%. We assume that you're intending to take 10% just by taking 50% of the 20% that you took. But because that cannot be done when it comes to Eruvin, you can't take half of this 4 amot and half of that 4 amot. You can't say the same there, but it's not a good rejection. But wait 1 second. We do have a case of meiser that you're not allowed to take halves, and still it works. What's that case? Meiser behema, right? When having to take a tenth of all of your animals. The Amaraba yatsu shnayim basiri, the karen asiri, asiri ve'chadesre marvin zebeze, right? If two come out at once when you're on 10 and you call them both 10, then we see the 10th and the 11th as a mixture of the 10th animal that you own. We see them as a mixture, but it still works, right? It still works. Why would it still work? You're only allowed to take a 10th. It doesn't work for more than a 10th. And so maybe what you should say is that it doesn't work at all. None of them work because you tried to establish two animals as your miser when only one animal out of 10 can be your miser. In which case, the fact that we see them as like a mixed up, you know, a jumble of your miser means it still worked in some sense. Shani miser beheba de ita bezeh achar ze betaut. No. Miser beheba is different because remember, this whole premise is that you cannot, is that anything that you can't do one after the other, meaning I can't say this is my Shabbos residence, no, this is my Shabbos residence, no, this is my Shabbos residence, so then if I try to do multiple at the same time, then nothing works. However, miser beheba, that does work one after the other. Right? How does it work one after the other? Ditnan kara l'chi asiri l'asiri chi l'chadasar asiri shlosh to nekudachin. Let's say you called the 10th one 9, right? So it was actually your 10th. This is the one that you should owe, but you called it 9. Or you called the 9th one 10, meaning you didn't owe it, but you said that you owe it by calling it the 10. And then you called the 11th one your 10th. So even though you don't own it, you still said that you owe it. All three are considered kadosh. Now, you made a mistake here, but they're all kadosh. I mean, it works for all of them. And since it can work for all of them consecutively, whereas by Shabbat residences, that wouldn't have worked. If you said, this is my Shabbat residence, no, this is my Shabbat residence, no, this is my Shabbat residence, it's not all three Shabbat residents. You can only ever have one. But here, by Meiser Behema, apparently you can establish multiple as your Meiser Behema, right? By making a mistake. And so if they work consecutively, and we consider them all kadosh, then if you try to do them all at once, that should also work. But however, we have another case. We're making such a mistake of consecutive establishments of what you owe to the Beit HaMikdash does not take effect. How so? In the Korban Todah, you have to designate 40 loaves of bread. And if you designated to them consecutively, it doesn't work. If you try to establish 80 loaves, it wouldn't work. If you try to establish these 40 and then those 40, it also wouldn't work. Ve'itmar, and yet it was said about the Korban Todah, Todah Shenishcha al Shmona Chalo, Chizkiya Amar Kachor La'arvayim Etoch Shmonim. Right? Chizkiya still holds that if you try to bring a Korban Todah with 80 loaves of bread, 40 of them still work. How could 40 of them still work? You can't establish them all at the same time because only 40 work. You can't establish them one after the other, in which case this flies in the face of Rabba's principle that anything that you can't, that won't work in establishing their Kedusha consecutively can't work all together, can't work all at once, and none of them should be effective. Here, 40 are still effective. Rabbi Yochanan Amar lo kichu ala arbayim mitoch shmonah. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, it doesn't work, and it doesn't work at all. That not even 40 work. But according to Chizkiya, 40 still work. How could that be? Ha'itmar Allah, because it was said about this case, about Chizkiya's case, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Hakol Modim Echad Amar Likachu Arbaim Etoch Shmonim. Rabbi Zeira says, everyone agrees in a case where he said 40 of these loaves should be Kadosh, from these 80. I have 80, I want 40 of them to work. Everyone agrees that's fine. Dikachi, right? Everyone agrees that's fine. You designated your 40. Lo yikachu arbaim ela im kein kachu shmonim. And if you make a stipulation, like, let 40 not be kadosh, these first 40 are not even kadosh, unless you're going to let me make all 40 of them kadosh. Kuli amalo pligid lo kachu. Everyone agrees there that it doesn't work, right? And that's kind of the most similar case to our own, because you're saying I have to be doing 80. That doesn't work. Everyone agrees. Ki pligi bistama. But where is Chizkiyah and Rabbi Yochanan's machloket exist? When you didn't specify. Mar savar lacharyot kamechavin. According to Chizkiyah, what you mean to do by those extra 40 is not to say that all 40 are supposed to be used as the korban toda, but rather you're concerned that some of them are going to get ruined. You don't want there to be any problem with the korban. So you're designated 40 to use for the korban toda and 40 designated backups. So if there's any problem, you still have 40 more. Not to say that all 80 are being used for my Korban Toda, but I want 40 for my Korban Toda, and 40 as backups. And that's why this case is different. Mar savar lachru kamechaven v'atnai itnehu, right? Humasavar lekorban gadol kamechaven. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan thinks that you mean that, no, I want, it's a big korban, so I'm going to bring 80. Well, you can't bring 80, so that doesn't work at all. But Chizkiyah is not saying that it works. Chizkiyah is not saying, well, because you did it for 80, even though you can't do it for 80, neither simultaneously nor one after the other, I'm going to say it at least works for 40. No, he just assumes that 40 is not being used for 40. 40 is just your backup bread, right? You have backup bread that you're using, and it's only supposed to work as a substitute. Amar Abaye, lo shanu ela beilan shetachtav shtemesrei ama. Abaye says, by the way, where we taught that it doesn't work, where nothing works, so you didn't establish your residence, that's only if there's a full 12 amot underneath the tree. Aval beilan she'ein tachtav shtemesrei ama, harei miktzat beito nikar. Right? But if there's less than 12, then we do kind of see where your Shabbat residence is. Now, here's how that works. Right? If it's less than, if it's 12 amot, then we can break up the Shabbat residence into three separate areas of 4 amot. And we have no idea where you intended to reside. However, if it's less than 12, then what we basically do is, okay, so at the base of the tree, you have a 4 amot distance. And that presumably is your Shabbat residence. Now, if you go to the right of you, you don't have a full Shabbat residence, right? So if you count out 4 amot to the right of you, you're beyond the 12, right? So if you're dealing with underneath the tree, then let's break up the tree into three sections again, right? The middle section, they're all 4 amot, right? But at least a little bit of the left section and at least a little bit of the right section are bleeding into that middle section, correct? Because you don't have three full 4 amma territories. So if you're standing at the middle of the tree, what are you doing? You're in an area that is sharing a domain with the right and the left. So if you intended, let's say, to establish your Shabbat in the middle of the tree, even if you didn't specify exactly where, your 4 amot are encompassing part of the domain to the right of you and part of the domain to the left of you, because they're all bleeding into the middle. So the middle is involved in all three. Meaning, if we ask, okay, you didn't specify where you intended to reside on Shabbat. So where could we possibly set you up? Well, if we set you up in the middle, that has part of the right domain and part of the left domain. So if you're in if you're in the middle, you're necessarily taking part of every domain that you could have established yourself in which case we're going to say that it works. But if you have 12 amot and there can be three distinct domains that do not overlap, then we can't help you out because you didn't specify which one you wanted to reside in. And if you're in the middle, then you're not in the right and you're not in the left. And if you're in the right, you're not in the middle or the left. And then you're in the left, you're not in the right or the middle. If you're in the middle, though, and there's less than 12 amot, then you're in an area that that includes within it any area that you could have established your presence within. Rav Huna challenges that of Rav Yeshua's statement and says, how do you know he intended on dwelling in the middle? Sure, if he intended on dwelling in the middle and it's less than 12 amot, then he's got a little bit of this and a little bit of that, in which case maybe he's fine. But how do you know he intended on residing in the middle? He never said he intended on residing in the middle, right? maybe you wanted to reside in the four rightmost or four leftmost amot. Elam Ravuna Breda Rav Yeshua, Elo Beilan Shtachtav Shmona Amot, Aval Beilan Shtachtav Sheva Amot Haremiktav Beito Nikar. Rather, we're talking about a case where there are eight amot underneath the tree. That's when you have a problem. You didn't say anything. However, if there are seven amot underneath the tree, then part of your residence is recognizable. How does that work? Because if you cannot divide. The residence into two equal places, then you can only be in one, meaning at least one ama, right? At least one ama is part of any place underneath that tree that you're trying to establish. You have seven amot underneath the tree, so there is an ama in the middle of it with three to the right of you and three to the left of you that no matter where you intended to reside on Shabbat, that ama would have been in your residence. And for that purpose, we can say, okay, there is one place that necessarily you would have been. So even if you didn't specify exactly where you were going, you know that you would have been in at least that ama, in which case we say that you're kone, you're shvita, exactly there. Tanaka v'tid Rav, Tanaka v'tid Shmuel. We see a brighter that supports Rav's shita, we see a brighter that supports Shmuel's shita. Tanaka v'tid Rav, mishaba b'derech v'chashchalo. Someone was on his way, and it became dark. V'yamakir ilan o geder, and he knew of a tree or a gate nearby. The Amar Shivatti Tachtav, that my residence should be underneath that area. Lo Amar Klum, didn't say anything about Im Amar Shivatti Makom Ploni, but if he specified his place, Mehalach Ad Shemagia Loto Makom Yigia Loto Makom Alech Ad Kulo Vechutza Lo Apayim Amma. He can go into that place, and once he reaches that place, he can go beyond that place up to 2,000 Amot, but Mehdevar Memori. Now, what is the case that we're talking about here, Makom Mesuya? Right, when he clearly finds that place, he's going Sheshavat Betel Shu Gavoa Asarat Vachim. Right, when he's talking about a natural entity that has a very specific location mapped out around it. Right, like a mountain that's exactly 10 tvachim high, v'huba arba amot var beit satayim, and that mountain is exactly 10 tvachim high, and it was between 4 amot and 2 beit satayim. Or alternatively, you're in a valley that was 10 tvachim deep and between 4 amot and 2 beit zav. However, if he's not in a specifically designated area, then he only has 4 amot. Meaning, if he's not in a very specific designated area, such that when he says, my Shabbat residence is here, well, if here is a very designated area by its natural features, okay, then we understand that that's where you're intending to reside, and you have 2,000 amot around you. But if there's no natural borders to the area, we're saying that your designation was not specific enough, and you only have the 4 amot around you. Hayush, side point before we get to how this is support for Rav Shita. Hayu shnayim echad makir v'echad she'enu makir. If there are two people walking, one of them knows the landmark, one of them doesn't. She'enu makir mosay shvitzito l'makir, v'makir omer shvitzito b'makom ploni. Right. So the one who doesn't know can say, I give the authority, my authority to establish a makom to you. And then the shaliach says, okay, I establish my place here. V'med v'rim amurim. Now, what are we talking about in this case? K'shesim arba amot shekava. Avalosim arba amot shekava. Lo yisus b'makomo. We only said, meaning this whole stipulation, according to this braita, was only when we said you have that entire area to walk around in when it's naturally clear what the area is. But if it wasn't naturally clear where the area is, because it wasn't 10 tvachim high and 4 amot wide, then you only have your 4 amot. Now we're further qualifying that bright and saying, when do you have your 4 amot? When you said, this is the 4 amot that I want to go to. But if you didn't even say, this is the 4 amot that I want to go to, you have nothing. That's clearly support for Rav Shita, because Rav says you don't specify, you get nothing. Nothing at all. And so that brighta is clearly supportive of Rav. Limit attitude to the Shmuel. Well, if that brighta supports Rav, then maybe you have a refutation of Shmuel Shita, who says that you do get those 4 amot. Amar l'cha Shmuel, hachav ma'eskin egon de'iko makom raglav ad ikaro trei alfa v'arba garmide de'iv makom idim bukmit lebe idach gisa de'ilan kam le'levarim t'chuma imesayim arba amot matzi azil v'lo matzi azil. So Shmuel says, no, it's not a difficulty. What's that brighta talking about? That brighta is talking about where? From the place that you are standing until the edge of the tree is 2,004 amot. Why is that significant? At least, let's say, 2,000 or just over, a little bit over 2,004 amot. Why is that significant? Because depending on where you established your residence within that tree, you may or may not be able to go at all. See, if you establish your residence at the northernmost end of the tree and you are 2,004 amot and a little bit to the south of it, then you can't even make it to your residence, right? So that's why you need to specify, because if part of the tree is out of the area that you can theoretically travel to, right, then you can't get there at all. That's why you need to specify. However, if the tree is fully within the area, if all parts of the tree are fully within the area that you are able to get to, then you certainly get your four amot. We're only concerned when part of the tree is outside of the area that you're able to get to, part of the tree is inside, and you don't specify, then you haven't designated your area in a place that for sure you can even get to. Shmuel says that's the problem. So if you specified where your four amot were, and it was in part of the part that you could reach, then go. But if you didn't specify where your four amot were, then in theory it could be in the part that you couldn't reach, and so we're not going to let you go. Now we have bright and according to the Shmuel Shita, Ta'av Eruv L'Shtei Ruchot. If you made a mistake and you made two different Eruv in two different directions, K'medume Hu Shema'arvin Lo Shtei Ruchot, you thought that that I'm allowed to make Teruvin. You made a mistake. You thought you were allowed to. Oshamar La'avadav Tzuv Eruv Uli Achad Eruv Elav L'Tzafam L'Chad Eruv L'Darim. Or you said to your servant, hey, your servants, hey, go make an Eruv for me. One of them says, oh, I'm going to make him an Eruv for the north. One says, I'm going to make an Eruv for him for the south. Mahal L'Tzafam K'Eruv L'Darim L'Darim K'Eruv L'Tzafam. You're allowed to travel between these two areas, meaning as you're allowed to travel to the north as much as your southern Eruv allows you to travel, and to the south as much as your northern Eruv allows you to travel. However, if they established them 2,000 amot away, meaning where you were standing was the furthest point south that you can go in the northern Eruv, and where you're standing is the southernmost point you can go into the northern Eruv, right? Then you can't move at all. But if there's any room in between, they didn't establish it 4,000 amot away from each other, then you can walk. We treat both these Eruvim as effective, in a sense. Now, how can we treat both Eruvim as effective? You're not allowed to have two Eruvim, so none of them work. Now, you don't treat them fully effective, because you can't go the full 2,000 amot of each Eruv, but you can go in the overlap out of a doubt of which of them worked. But in theory, none of them should work, because both of them can't work, right? And if both of them can't work simultaneously, then they shouldn't be able to work one after the other at all. So according to that Svara, none of the Eruvim should work. You shouldn't be able to move at all, right? Limit to the Rav. So maybe we can reject Rav's Shita, who says that if you can't establish two Eruvim, and you did establish two Eruvim, neither of them worked. Well, here clearly they did work. Rav Tanu Palik. Well, that Breita is not a problem for Rav. You know why? Because Rav is allowed to argue on Breitas because he's considered a Tana. Rav was kind of the first of the Amoraim, but really, I mean, he saw himself as able to argue on the people, you know, who came 10 years before him, right? So when Rav wants to, he can argue on a Mishnah. So great, you brought a Breita, that's a problem for Rav, but Rav can just argue on it, so you can't bring that as a disproof.